everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass, our engineer, producer of the program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this, the 18th day of December, 2018, Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. A couple of places for that. You can go to my website. I hope you do, buckmastershow.com, where we have all of our programs archived, and of course, kvoi.com. The station website has 24-hour streaming, live streaming available. Our live line number, 790-2040. We're going to begin today with Dr. George Hammond. He is the Economic and Business Research Center Director at the Eller College of Management, which is based at the University of Arizona. Dr. Hammond, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. So is the Tucson economy back on track? Are we rolling down the track in a pretty good fashion here?
Yeah, we really are. We started growing at a more rapid pace in 2016 and carried that momentum into 2017 with the fastest growth we'd seen since 2012, and we're doing even better so far in 2018.
We're adding jobs at a pretty good clip then.
That's right. Tucson added almost 9,000 jobs over the past four quarters, and that translates into 2.4% growth, which is much faster than national growth at 1.6. So Tucson's doing quite well.
Let's break down those numbers a little bit. Where are those jobs coming from, or where are the job? What sectors?
We're seeing most of the job growth in healthcare, professional and business services, which includes lots of different activities, everything from accountants, lawyers, management consultants, to engineers, computer programmers, and also the call center sector. And tourism is also doing quite well, as is construction, which is finally back growing at rapid rates.
Are our wages starting to catch up with the national average?
Well,
we've traditionally been, as you know, a low-wage town.
Yes, we still are, but wage growth was much better in 2017. In fact, Tucson's overall personal income growth, which includes wages, dividends, interest, and rent, and transfer receipts, that growth was 5.4% last year, which was a full percentage point faster than the nation and was very close to the growth we saw statewide and a little bit slower than what we saw in Phoenix. But what drove that was a real improvement in wage growth. I think part of that was driven by our stronger job growth combined with a tightening labor market. So a more competitive labor market typically drives up wages. And I think the increase in the state's minimum wage also contributed.
Are we seeing a reflection of some positive economic new growth as far as businesses moving to the area and those that are here, some of them adding new jobs? Of course, I'm thinking of Caterpillar, which isn't really this year. It was a year or so ago. But you have the Amazon announcement about that huge warehouse. I'm just wondering how economic growth, George Hammond, is playing into this. Economic development, I should say.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. The economic development successes that we've had have contributed. We've also seen increase in federal procurement spending in Arizona over the past couple of years. And that followed a huge decline in federal spending in Arizona during the 2013 to 2015 period. And that tends to affect Tucson much more than it does the state or the nation, because federal activity, both civilian and military, is a much more important part of our economy than it is for the state or the nation. It's about twice as important. And what we've seen is that federal procurement spending in particular, which includes purchases from Raytheon, if the federal government contracts with a local computer programming firm, that would be a federal procurement spending. When that procurement spending rises, it tends to spur Tucson more than it does the state or the nation. So I think that's contributed as well.
We're speaking with Dr. George Hammond from the University of Arizona Eller College. Dr. Hammond is the Economic and Business Research Center Director over at Eller. Of course, housing is one of the, if you look at kind of a stool, perhaps four-legged stool of the Tucson economy, housing's going to be one of those, one of the legs of the stool. How are we doing?
Absolutely. Housing is doing much better. We saw a huge increase in housing permits in 2017, driven by a real surge in multifamily activity. We've seen single family activity rising as well. So overall, the precursors for construction activity, construction jobs have really been favorable over the past couple of years. And we've now seen construction employment really rising at fairly strong rates here locally. We're also seeing house prices rising rapidly. According to federal data, they were up about 6.6% over the year in the third quarter in Tucson. That matched the national rate. But it was a little bit slower than we've seen over the past couple of quarters in 2018. So it looks like things may be cooling off a little bit. And, that will factor into what's going on with housing affordability, which is getting to be more and more of a concern really across the nation, across Arizona and here in Tucson.
We're still having in-migration from California, quite a bit of that, right?
Absolutely. That's a long-standing trend. Arizona has historically drawn a lot of its migrants from other states from California. That's still happening. The state added roughly 110,000 net new residents last year. About 88% of that population growth came from net migrants moving from other states, and most of those likely came from California. And you want to keep in mind that, even though house prices are rising in Phoenix and Tucson, they're still a lot lower than they are for most of our peer western metropolitan areas, and particularly those western metros in California.
That growth, that in-migration, is pretty much double what the national average would be, right, of people moving into states, if you take all 50 states.
Well, our population growth in Arizona
population
is 1.6%.
Yes.
That's double the national average of 0.7%. Tucson actually added about 8,000 net new residents last year for 0.8%. So Tucson's growing at about the national average.
And we are considered a metro area over 1 million residents, mm-hmm. correct? And
yes.
That's important for retail that looks at that kind of, that's kind of a benchmark, isn't it?
Absolutely. That million resident threshold is something that's good to pass. It puts us on the radar screen of more site selection firms around the nation and around the world.
How's 2019 looking?
2019 looks pretty solid. Going to continue to see solid U.S. growth, I think, for much of the year, but slowing U.S. growth. And that means that Tucson will continue to expand as well in 2019. 2020 will be the year where we'll see slower growth nationally and here in Tucson. And that's something that we'll want to keep an eye on, because once as growth begins to slow, that makes it easier for policy mistakes and sort of economic shocks to tip us into a recession, whereas they wouldn't if we're growing at a faster pace.
Do you think by 2020 we will be flirting with a recession?
Well, the risks will be higher than they are currently or for most of 2019. So 2020, late 2019 and 2020 are the periods to pay attention to.
How about downtown? Everybody's saying it's booming. Is that helping matters out with the economy?
I think so. I think having a solid,
vibrant downtown.
Exactly. Yeah. Having a vibrant downtown is good for the metro area.
So overall, you're giving us a pretty good picture.
Yes, Tucson really is back on track. We're growing at or above the national pace. We're still below the growth that we're seeing in Phoenix. There's nothing unusual about that, though. But Tucson is on solid footing, and I think we're going to carry that momentum into next year.
All right, Dr. George Hammond, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Great, thank you.
Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, Silver City and one of our other sponsors, Green Things. Well, that'll be coming up later in the show, the Green Things read, but right now we want to tell you about Silver City. It's only a three-hour drive from the Tucson metropolitan area. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay, and there's some really really lovely accommodations in that area and so many recreation opportunities. Historic Silver City, or if you'd like, and it's a great time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Again, their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And we also want to tell you about our fine sponsor, Mona's Danish Bakery. It's time for that little poem we do. Instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make Santa tingle. Leave him a treat from Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's a great place to pick up your Danish Kringle. And a Danish Kringle just seems to kind of go with the Christmas season. I hear Kringle, I think of, Kris Kringle. So it's holiday time. We're 1 week away from the big day, Christmas. So why not pick up a Danish Kringle, perhaps for your Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day morning? And those Danish Kringles, we talked about that Friday. Steve and his team at Mona's gave us a beautiful Danish Kringle. Dr. Hammond, that Danish Kringle disappeared, by the way, in about 2 hours. Less than that, I think. The station just devoured that. Have you had one?
That's my next stop.
There you go. George Hammond from the University of Arizona making his way up to Mona's Danish Bakery after our interview right now. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Tell you what, I'm going to do some consulting right now with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Hey, Shelley, how are you?
I am well, Bill. You seem to be inundated with numbers guys.
Oh, today. I've got the numbers guys. We had George Hammond, of course, at the top of the program. Now we've got some numbers from you. And speaking of numbers, because of the way Christmas falling on a Tuesday, and that means 7 days later, New Year's Day falls on a Tuesday, this is our last visit with you, live visit, Shelley. Since Tuesday, or coming up on Tuesday, January 8th. So this is kind of our year-end edition with
you.
Wow. Yeah.
So let's summarize the year. And
we need to summarize the year and look into the Shelley Fishman crystal ball that you pull out right. Every year at this time.
So we kind of did a little of that last week.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers for 2018 are interesting. We're going to, unless the market reverses significantly between now and the end of the year, we'll be close to flat, maybe down a little bit on most of the equity indices. And that's the first time in probably 6 years that's happened, the second time this decade that we've actually had a negative year. But it's coming on top of two very, very good years. So the glass half full version of that is don't panic. You know, we're in a correction. We've got lots of things going on in the world right now that are presenting problematic issues for investors, and so people are taking a kind of cautious look. Interesting kind of projections on what's happening in Brexit. You know, Brexit is the most boring, very important subject that you can imagine. But there's actually, I think, forward movement on getting the Brits to take another look at a referendum as to whether or not they really want to go through with that. Getting Brexit off the table will be a big stabilizer for the world economies. But we'll see where they go with that.
And some feel the Chinese trade deal with the U.S., the discord that this has created, maybe some of that will calm down a little bit in 2019.
If
that could help big time, couldn't it?
If the presidents of both countries will keep their silly mouths shut and just allow the professionals to continue to manage the not only the economies but also the trade between our nations, things will be much better.
How are we doing as far as what you're predicting for the 2019 calendar year as far as the market growth?
Well, I think we're going to have a very interesting year, and that, of course, is a Chinese curse.
I think you shall live in interesting times.
The headwinds are going to continue. The uncertainty is going to continue. I believe the volatility is going to continue. I think we'll get a reversal of the mean line. In other words, we'll begin to see that line slant up. I think that by the end of the year we'll be in the high single digits in terms of what the market growth will have been. That will be somewhat below the 60 or 70 year average, but not bad considering what we're coming off of. I think that we also have to take a look at, as you and Dr. Hammond were doing, we have to take a look at what the economy is going to do. And we always have to remind people that the economy is very different from the stock market. The economy will probably end this year up about 3%. If we get about a 3% fourth quarter, that would average out from what we've had. We've had a 2.2, a 4.2, and I think the third quarter was about 3.2. So if we have a 3% fourth quarter will be just at around 3% for the year. Next year, most economists are suggesting we'll be closer to the normal of 2%. 2% growth is not spectacularly good, but not bad necessarily. And that's kind of what I'm thinking we're going to be at, around 2%. We have still some residual fluff in there from the tax reductions for corporations that's continuing to produce some abnormally high numbers. So, you know, we could even have a 2.5, say, first quarter, and then it'll average out, which will give us a not bad year. But going into 2020, some of the headwinds are going to really catch up with us. And I think that the danger, the storm clouds on the horizon will be at the end of 2019 or the beginning of 2020.
I think one of the mistakes folks look at the stock market as a reflection, Shelley Fishman, of the economy. And if that were to be the case, if it was a mirror of the economy would be based on what's been going on with the stock market the last couple of weeks. The economy would be in horrible shape.
Well, you're absolutely right. What we see is confusion between the market and, it's interesting the way you put it, a reflection. It's actually the opposite of that. The market tends to be a leading indicator. It doesn't reflect the economy in general, but it tends to be somewhat predictive of where the economy is going. Of course, the difficult thing of crystal ball gazing is you can be right like any stopped watch at least twice a day. So no matter what you say is going to happen, undoubtedly will. The question is, you know, in what decade? Mm-hmm. So what the markets tend to do is 18 months prior to when it actually happens, they begin to anticipate what that happening is. But you can get very marked downward movements in the market or upward movements, and then, you know, very minor ripples in the economy. The one that kind of comes to mind is in 1987, we had almost a 40% reduction in the markets. It was a typical bear market. And then the recession that followed right after that was minimal. Mm-hmm. Though don't ask President Clinton. He used the economy as stupid as a, you know, to weaponize the recession.
And I won't put you on the spot here, but as I recall, that 40% decrease and drop, a lot of that was made up in fairly short order in
Absolutely.
Subsequent years.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to ask you how fast it recovered.
It recovered within 18 months.
Which is pretty amazing.
It was very amazing, given the depth of that mm-hmm. that correction.
Yes.
But what was important was it brought to light the idea that balance of trade and that the world was such an integrated marketplace and integrated economically that balance of trade could actually be thought of as a predictor of not only markets but where economies were going. And so in the months following the October 87 crash, everybody was watching with this dead-eye focus on what the balance of trade numbers were. Now, you don't hear any more of that anymore.
No, you rarely hear about balance of trade.
Right.
You hear about trade, possible trade wars,
clearly.
And tariffs, but you don't hear about balance of trade.
Right. But those in that decade, in the decade of the 80s, that's when we really began to see the integration of the world economies, and we began to see the emerging markets become a much more important force in how world trade kind of flowed. And so the idea that we would have a trade surplus or a trade deficit became a very serious consideration for how economists were looking at the effects of this integration of the world economies. And it absolutely monopolized the conversation about where the markets were going and where the economies were going for almost a year and a half, and then nobody heard about it again.
The numbers look pretty good today, right?
We're up about 200 points. Yeah. Yesterday, of course, was rotten.
Yeah.
Again, as we ended last week's show, we should probably end this year's
show. Yes, it'd be our last visit of the year.
Right, to say, look, if you're properly allocated, if you've kept some cash on the side, if you are consulting on a regular basis with your advisor, this is not the time to chase the curve.
No.
This is not the time to panic. This is the time to be
hang
patient
in there.
And hang in. And I know that sounds like a recorded announcement, but, you know, selling low and buying high is not a formula for success.
All right. On that note, we'll leave it right there. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you for your visits.
Merry Christmas, Bill.
Merry
and
Christmas.
Happy New Year to you.
And to all of our friends and all of our investor friends who very much enjoy what Shelley Fishman does. And if you'd like to reach him and he would love to hear from you, there is a link at buckmastershow.com. And Shelley, I guarantee you, my prediction, he will call you back.
I absolutely will call
you back.
All right.
Shelley, have a great one. Happy
you
New
too,
Year
Bill.
To you, too. All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Appropriate bump music. The song is Beginnings by one of my favorite groups, my hometown, Chicago, Illinois. The group Chicago with Beginnings, our bump music. And we're doing a lot of beginnings here. Bustos Media, the owner of KVOI. We got the construction next door, the new studios coming along. We're excited about our sister station, 106.3, The Groove. I was listening coming in, really kind of dancing along to that music on 106. So Bustos Media really becoming a big player in the Tucson market. I'll tell you, Christmas is a week away. If you've not picked up your poinsettias, please head over to Green Things. They started with 25,000. Dustin Williams is with us here in studio, Pima County School Superintendent. Dustin, I know you've got some young kids, and are you doing the decorating around the house?
Yeah, we do the lights.
Good to see you, first of all, but I want to hear about this.
Well, happy holidays to all your listeners, and the vibe in the office is amazing. Here, you're right, the studio is great. Coming in and seeing the new
the construction
remodel, it's
going
to be beautiful. But yeah, we're doing the lights. We're doing the... We got the elf on the shelf, so you got to hide this guy.
Elf on the shelf.
Yeah,
kind of a tradition, maybe. Where is the elf on the shelf?
So the elf on the shelf, he moves and he needs to move every night. He's kind of got these special powers, and so we're making sure that mommy and daddy remember to move him. That's the
sure, because the kids are into that. Well, if you're looking for some poinsettias, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, Green Things, they grow them there. So these are happy poinsettias, to say the least. They're in every imaginable color. And, you know, when you're over there on their 13-acre site, Zocalo is there too, all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. It's a whole Zocalo village. So you get all your plants and you get all this the stuff at Zocalo, all on that 13-acre site. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, congratulations, Dustin Williams. You have been named along with, I think it's about a team of you and 13 others. It's the transition team for the newly elected superintendent. She's Kathy Hoffman, who will be the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona. She must be like a kindred spirit to you because she's been in the trenches, right?
That's right. She's done the teaching. She's been involved with special ed. She's got a wonderful heart. And I'm really impressed by her organizational skills and her ability to bring diverse people from all different partisans, backgrounds to the table to form this team. It's an honor. I'm humbled to have the voice for Pima County. But hats off to Superintendent-elect Ms. Hoffman for starting off on the right foot and getting the ball rolling.
I'm looking at the team, and it's people from, you're right, the diversity, and not just different areas like technology. There's charters are represented, but it's all over the state. She's tried to include, even the superintendent for the Chinle Unified School District up on the Navajo Nation. She's included a lot of different people.
And that's really what the first go-around. We met on the 7th of this month.
Oh, you did have a meeting already.
That's right. We're going to be meeting pretty much scheduled for monthly, but it could be biweekly if needed. And that's the perspective that you get, is from all the different cultures and the cultural needs that we have in the education arena. And that's what we got to talk about, because there's so many needs out there that we got to make sure all these kids are getting what they deserve and what they need to be successful.
You think Kathy may kind of keep the team together as more like a education cabinet?
Yeah, I see it's going to be a education cabinet, sort of a sounding board going forward.
Advisory and, committee,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and she's got a great associate superintendent, John Carruth, coming from the Vail District, which is top-notch district here in Pima County.
Had you met John before?
I've met him in the goings as the Pima County School Superintendent.
Okay. Speaking of, and before we talk about the big issues, you were elected 2 years ago. What are your political plans? Can you give us, our listeners, any idea where you're at right now?
Yeah, right now we are gearing up for two more years. Looking at some good programs that we have at the office, and then we relaunch our campaign in 2020.
Are you going to make it official right here on the show?
Yeah, actually, let's make it official. Mm-hmm. I'm running again in 2020, Dustin Williams for Pima County School Superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
I love this county. I love these kids. I want to be here for a long time. I really like, this is my home away from home for as a native, and so really this is where I want to be for a while, to be honest.
Top schools issues that you and the team will be facing and advising Kathy on?
First and foremost is the nature of service and what ADE can deliver to the schools. Bringing back that cultural aspect of making sure that all of the needs at the local levels are being fulfilled, and then helping her with getting a consistent quality team at the Arizona Department of Education that can fulfill those needs. So first and foremost for her, get that place settled, get the personnel that's needed, and then let's start working on the service that needs to be provided to the schools.
Had it fallen by the wayside over the last 4 years?
Let's just say that the reorganization is most definitely needed, and there's some crucial roles that need to be in those positions for longevity. Too often we would call up either for grants management or for finance, and there would just be a different person. When you have to rework...
You had a different point person almost every time you picked up the phone.
It was tough, and often it would happen like that. And what you need is consistency, because we build that relationship, and then you build the story so they understand exactly what that need is for that particular school. And that story takes a while for the person on the other line to understand. And then if a new person comes in, you just have to tell it again, and you have to rework the whole situation, and you really lose in efficiency. And at the end of the day, education is all about timing.
Dustin Williams is with us. He announced just a few moments ago he will be seeking re-election as Pima County School Superintendent. Overall, what have you accomplished? What are you most proud of in your first 2 years in office?
Probably the most important thing for me is building a culture with this community as a person that wants to be involved, wants our office to be involved, and wants to support our schools. Recently bringing in programs that are all about leadership for schools, students with special needs. We just launched an advanced program. But at the end of the day, it's really the one-on-one, being with the teachers and the kids in the schools and showing them how much you care, and then finding out what support levels they need from our office and just rebuilding that entire relationship.
What I'm hearing and what you're getting the most high marks from what I hear is you're not a guy bound to a desk.
You
are like a man in motion visiting. I don't know how many schools are in your portfolio, but you're out there a lot.
Well, we've just hit about 176th school. And in order to talk education at all levels, especially when we go up to Phoenix coming here and through the beginning of 2019.
With a new session.
Yep. You have to be inside these organizations to talk about what's important. So when we get into districts and we get into charters and people want to know some of those differences, we want to let the community know that if we're talking districts and charters, we got to be able to have the whereabouts and the knowabouts of what's going on in there, and what makes a charter successful versus a district successful, and vice versa.
Dustin Williams with us, Pima County School Superintendent. The session will be opening before you know it, just really weeks away, the 2019 Arizona legislative session. Last year, the big issue, the front burner issue, became teacher salaries. What will it be concerning education this year, Dustin Williams?
So the governor gave us his guarantee of the 20 by 20, and we're looking for an allocation of what he's already proposed is 5%. For teacher raises, and we would love to just see a little more built upon that, maybe somewhere around that 8 to 12% increase, if possible. I know we've got some good one-time funds that need to come through for capital expenditures, which are stuff for the school, which is all the things you touch, the building stuff.
But the commitment has to be met. That's got to be.
I feel confident, Governor Ducey, coming through with that commitment. But we've got to look for a little bit more to preserve those classified staff areas, and then we really got to start having a discussion sooner or later about what we're doing about special education costs, because those are starting to get a little out of control.
Are our academic numbers coming up within Pima County?
Academic numbers are looking good. It's interesting. Our state, we're low per pupil on the funding, but we do okay when it comes to academics. We're somewhere in the mid-range nationwide. What we'd want to see is if we can really raise that bar and be in that high academic range, and then maybe somewhere in the middle tier for the money.
All right. Always good to speak with Dustin Williams. He has announced here on the program he will be running again in 2 years for the Pima County School Superintendent. Always good to see you. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Happy holidays to everyone out there and yourself, Bill.
And before I let you go, I want to tell our listeners, Dustin, about my favorite bakery in town.
I want to hear it.
There you go. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. It's the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Perhaps after your interview today, you and your fine colleague, Matt, who does so much for you. If you are out and about and up in the foothills area, you might want to stop by Mona's and try out one of the Danish Kringles. When you hear Danish Kringle, it kind of sounds like Christmas, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I think of a very sweet Pringle. I don't know why I think that.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's just a lovely pastry. And Steve and the team gifted us last week, Dustin, on Friday, kind of for my birthday and holidays, with a beautiful Kringle that I picked up and brought into the office. It was an almond Kringle, and I kid you not, it was like inhaled by the staff here. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, look at him carving up. He had a couple of nice slices of Kringle. But anyway, I could talk all day about Kringle, but we do have a show to do. It's monasdanishbakery.com for more information. Again, happy holidays to you, Dustin Williams, and your fine team.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Dan Gibson will be giving us the latest. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our arts report on Buckmaster is sponsored by our friends at Fox Tucson Theater. Watch the joy spread when your family and friends open gifts of live entertainment at your holiday celebration. Visit foxtucson.com to see the full schedule of upcoming shows and purchase a gift specifically chosen with that special recipient in mind. Concerts scheduled in the new year include Jackie Evanchow, Dan Gibson, is that correct?
Yeah, she's got the voice of an angel.
Voice of an angel. Chris Christopherson, I mean, you know, he's like a legend. Don McLean.
Yeah.
American Pie.
He's got a great catalog.
Oh, my goodness. The Oak Ridge Boys. And here's a show I want to see. Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall. Lanny Hall was the original group Brazil 66.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, and she has a wonderful voice. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Sure. 90s are back.
Yeah, comedian Lewis Black. Oh, that's always a fun show, and many more. So give a gift of live entertainment. By the way, New Year's, they've announced the New Year's Bash. The Hot Sardines New Year's Eve Bash.
They've played the jazz festival a couple times. They're great. If you enjoy sort of like the hot jazz of you know, sort of French stuff a little bit, like Django Reinhardt's a good example of that.
For more information to purchase tickets to the Hot Sardines New Year's Eve show or really to give any of these great concert tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson is with us. And Dan, this is that time of year. We've got a lot of stuff going on, don't we?
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. The arts continue on. You know, you think during the holiday season there'll probably be fewer things to see. And some of the galleries, check, you know, if you're planning on going anywhere, check to make sure they're open, especially U of A galleries. The U of A Art Museum and Center for Creative Photography take a break between Christmas and New Year's. Just make sure that they're open. Double check beforehand. But I on Friday, I was lucky enough to have the media preview of the new show at Center for Creative Photography, Richard Avedon.
Yeah, I got to see
Relationships.
That show. Yeah.
It is amazing. Like, you know me, Bill. Mm-hmm. I am not easily impressed.
No. It's from that. He's like one of the grand masters of 20th century photography.
Hands down, top five.
It's in the catalog of Center for Center for Creative Photography of the Grand Masters, they've got them.
Yeah, for sure. They're showing 80 of his prints from their catalog of 400 plus that they have, plus some archival things from his, because Richard Avedon corresponded with the Center for Creative Photography when he was donating his collection. They have a video of when he came here to open the Center for Creative Photography. It is truly an amazing show. It is stunning. It is absolutely free. Which, I mean, if you saw the show in New York or L.A. or Paris or whatever, and it is that quality of a retrospective, you would pay 25 whatever amount of dollars easily. You can walk into the Center for Creative Photography and enjoy these amazing photos, photos of Jacques Cousteau, Jimmy Carter.
Edward S. Curtis.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it is truly amazing show. You absolutely should see it. It is running through May 15th, but I know how I am. If I wait till later, I will forget about it. Yep. You do not want to miss it. You will go early and often.
A lot of people have time off. This is a great time to visit some of our kind of iconic attractions. And it's not just the Center for Creative Photography, the Tucson Museum of Art, the places that, you know, you've been real busy and you haven't had a chance to get out, got some time off, well, now would be a great time to visit.
And you should see, I know I've plugged this on this program before, the 30 Americans series at Tucson Museum of Art closes on Saturday, January 12th. They're actually having a closing party with local musician Sean Louis, who is great. But you have to see the show. The Tucson Museum of Art is an incredible collection of work by African-American artists reflecting on what life in America. It is truly amazing, including, you know, from Basquiat down to new artists that will, it is a stunning show. You absolutely have to go. It's a remarkable thing that both of these things are in this city at the same time.
The whole transformation of downtown is amazing. Bob Dio, my great producer, director, on the other side of the glass, actually we sat together at the Bustos Media Party, which was Friday night at Charo Steak. What a great job they did down there. But what I'm getting at here, Dan Gibson, is the vibe in downtown Tucson. If folks have been foothills dwellers and they don't get down, like perhaps maybe I shouldn't get down. Maybe I have been negligent not getting downtown as much. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, Dan, the vibe downtown on Friday night was unbelievable.
And it extends to Tuesdays. I mean, if you go downtown tonight, there will still be people around and things happening. There's an electricity to the area that, I think probably was absent from Tucson since the 60s, pre-urban renewal by all means.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's the lovely thing is that you can go from place to place and get a drink at Congress and then get dinner at, Elvira's and have dessert at Hub or Screamery or, you know, like there's sort of a transience to it that has like, let's do this. And then there's this and options. And obviously the things happening at the Fox, the Rialto Congress is celebrating its 100th anniversary in 2019. So they have an incredible list of things coming up. There's something happening downtown all of the time.
And you know, this is an arts report, but I include food as an art. I mean, it's a culinary art.
Yeah, makes sense.
And what we have done now leading the way with the whole gastronomy thing, I mean, it's just amazing what's going down in the downtown area. Give us a couple of couple more venues.
Well, speaking of downtown, at XO Roast, Saturday, December 29th. Brian Smith, who has a new book out called Tucson Salvage, their Tales and Recollections from La Frontera. You may have seen some of his work in the Tucson Weekly recently.
Oh, yeah.
He has the cover story this week.
I like his work.
Yeah, he's incredible. Brian's amazing.
I like the book, too.
Yeah, so he'll be reading from it at XO, which is great. They also have an incredible mezcal program as well. Also, poet Maggie Golston, Billy Settlemyer, and filmmaker Maggie Smith. So they'll be doing a Q&A and book signing as well. It's $5 to benefit Youth on Their Own, which is an incredible organization.
It is, yeah.
Also, no one turned away, but you can cough up $5. Mm-hmm. Cough up a little more. Why not? People will appreciate it.
Give me another one.
Absolutely. The MOCA Winter Solstice Celebration. This is Friday, December 21st, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. It is absolutely free. Normally, they have Third Thursdays at MOCA where they have all these different artists and people speaking. It is the closing party instead for their Blessed Bees show. There'll be indoor and outdoor performances, art installations, video projections and screenings, hand-on art-making activities, tarot card readings, music, and a bonfire and food trucks. Should be a great time all around. That is at Mocha, right in the heart of downtown, Friday, December 21st, 8 to 11 p.m. And all free. Right. What else? I mean, what else can
there
you ask
you go. About? Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. We want to tell people about the Fox, the New Year's Bash. Tell me again about the hot sardines.
Yeah, so they're, I try to remember, I think they're from San Francisco, but a lot of fun. If you want music to dance mm-hmm. to, sort of like sort of pre-big band era stuff, mm-hmm. the sort of swanky, sort of like, you know, the brushed drums and the
that's good party music.
It's going to be an excellent party. Yeah. Should be a great show. There's obviously a lot of attention out there, but if you want to have, you know, get dressed up, have a mm-hmm. great time, have a meal downtown, yep. enjoy the hot sardines, that's a solid evening.
All right, that's New Year's Eve. And of course, there's a lot of great acts coming. Don McLean, Oak Ridge Boys, Herb Alpert, and Lanny Hall. That's going to be a great show. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and comedian Lewis Black. Lewis Black has really an incredibly loyal following, doesn't he, Dan?
Absolutely. From The Daily Show and things like that. He does well for himself. It big show, and if you want the sort of like interaction mm-hmm. with the with the person on stage, Lewis Black will deliver anger, and you will receive it. It should be a really good show.
All right, thank you, Dan Gibson. Visit foxtucson.com for more information. That is going to wrap it up, the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition. Dan, I do want to say a special shout out to you and your lovely family. Hope you have a joyous Christmas season and a healthy and happy New Year. Thanks for what you do.
Of course, my pleasure.
All right. And Bob Dio, thanks to you, as always, putting together on the other side of the glass a great show for us. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.